We're going to the game.
You know what? I don't want to play defense. Are you kidding me?
Right, game noon.
What the hell's going on? You're playing it safe.
I'm brick.
It's amazing. No way in hell I'm touching it. Are you kidding? That was really fun.
Hey, this is Adrian. I just wanted to let you know there are technical difficulties. I thought about cutting them, but they're too hilarious, and I'm leaving them in. Hello, and welcome to the Sports Anomaly. I'm your host, Adrian Todd-Zanig, and I'm joined live on my Shure 7 microphone, brand new, the most expensive microphone I could possibly imagine. But I wanted to do it right, Jeff. I'm joined live by Jeff Solomon, the commish, as he's known. I feel like it's like Mad Dog in the morning, but you're the commish. I feel like that feels right. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm good. I saw that Mike and the Mad Dog 30 for 30. It was pretty okay. Although they sort of just end it at, like, on a weird note where it's like, and then 25 years passed, and here we are. And like they don't address anything that happened after 2004, basically. How are you, Todd?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm super interested in not talking about it. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm house-sitting in Los Angeles. It's been, I've taken a break from pretty much life to write a TV pilot about my youth when I was 13, when I was growing up with who people know as Madden creative director Mike Young and Our Lives. And then I've also... now I'm writing a TV pilot about my experiences traveling the world for Literary Deathmatch and how calamitous and weird that was. And then I'm trying to finish my novel all within the next 13 days. So I feel fine. Fine. Exhausted, but in a good way. Mostly, I'm just excited to hear, what do you love this week, Jeff Solomon?
I love rain delays. I was watching yesterday's Yankee game this morning on the treadmill, and it ended after six innings. Even though it was pouring rain, for whatever reason, the umpires made everyone play the bottom of the sixth inning, which gave the Yankees enough time to take a lead, and then they ended the game immediately. So if you're a Red Sox fan, you're probably enraged. As someone on the treadmill, I was upset there wasn't more innings to distract me while I was bored on the treadmill. But as a fan, I was thrilled.
My audio. I'm not hearing you, and you froze.
What does that sound?
Which I guess that's
God, I've lost
interesting.
You. Oh,
but
dear.
I'll keep talking. I don't think this mic is loud enough. My like levels aren't very loud, so I'm just going to talk about that for a while. That doesn't seem great. I don't really know how to fix it. This isn't my strong suit. I'm just going to click some buttons. That just made it echoey. Okay. Yep, you're still frozen, which is wild. Usually you'd think that wouldn't keep happening, but that's how we're doing it. All right. This is fantastic. You figure you wouldn't get any technical difficulties when you come back, but yeah,
this is
awesome. Ah, there we go.
Oh,
wait,
boy.
Is that a reconnect sound? Okay, we're just going to reconnect on our own. We don't need to look at each other.
Hi, Todd.
How that was great. You just started talking about something. You were talking about the sixth inning, and then it just crashed out, and then I just spoke.
Well,
for a while
my audio got my whole rant, I can say. My audio got the whole rant, so you could cut after that, and we can just start again if you choose, and no one will know the difference in the podcast.
I probably am going to keep both of them, and I'm just going to overlay this and people can try to hear me talking about technical difficulties, you ranting about that, and then you know, it's going to sound terrible, but I might do it that way, but who knows. So you love rain delays. What do I love this week, you ask?
Yes,
I love the NBA finals. I've become more and more of an NBA fan in the last 2 years. And what a final it's been. Like, last night I watched the Bucks-Suns. That's who's in the finals. And I don't know. I'm like, what do I like more, the deer or the sun? And I thought that was an interesting thing to deal with emotionally. And I feel like I like deer a lot. And right now the sun's kind of going to do some bad stuff over the next period of time. But also I don't like sun in my eyes. Anyway, the point is, I'm going to go with the Bucks. I'm rooting for the Bucks for several reasons. Brilliant. But just the exciting series. Have you been following the finals?
Let's see if Google's better. Let's try Google, huh, Todd?
Are we really frozen again? Can I fucking kick my own ass through my head? What is happening? Holy shit. This is fun. I'm going to go to a different room. See how the Wi-Fi works from anywhere else. Hello, life. Hello, never wanting to have tech that works. This is great. This is great. Everybody loves when Wi-Fi destroys. Sports anomaly. Yep, this is one of my favorite episodes ever. Loving it. Loving it. Loving it. Loving it. Just gonna let this ride. Why do this? Join now. Join a call.
Hey.
Oh, there we go. How do I make this? I'm just, my audio is still running and who knows if all
mine is too. Mine is too.
Settings. Video, audio, internal. Nope, we're going to the Shure. Bam, speakers, Shure.
Ooh, that sounds good.
We've done it. This is a fucking shit show as we would expect it to be. I've moved into a different Wi-Fi place. Let's see if it works. So I just talked about the NBA Finals and asked if you had been watching it.
I have not, sadly. I caught very few glimpses of it. I'm not a big basketball fan in general.
Yeah, I think you should change your mind and start doing it. They've been great. All right, moving on. What do you hate this week, Jeff?
This week I hate, you know, it's funny. I think it's been like
holy
exactly
fuck, we're
months since my last
glitching
hate.
Again. Okay, what was that? Sorry, I thought it was glitching.
I hate bugs, and I hate that we once again ran into the bug for an auto draft, ruining all this fun prep time and whatever. Whatever else, you know, that we have, and we just have to live with it. And I just hate how Madden is so buggy and ruins things for us when we just want to play the damn game and not have simulated drafts.
Yeah, it's tough. It's like, it's as buggy as the first how many ever minutes of this shit show we've recorded. And what is interesting to me is we didn't plan on having a fifth season. So when the draft was happening, I just wasn't as engaged in it. And for the first time in my life, I was like, I'm trading my draft picks. They're worthless to me. And it was interesting because emotionally I was so divested, but and it ended up not even logging in to do the draft because it was exactly at the same time, I believe, as England versus Italy. And I was like, I don't give a shit. I'm just going to live my life. But also, then when it auto-drafted, I finally watched the video from our season 4 auto-draft and experienced that ride again, and I really hated it. I was like, oh, that was not my favorite. And just, I don't know. It's such a tough thing because, like, how does a game, like, if you get hyped for the draft, that's what the NFL does. It hypes you for the draft. How do you then show up? But like, say you tune into the NFL draft on a Thursday night, and you're like, I'm just going to watch the first round. I don't know all these players, but it'll be fun. It's exciting. And then they're like, okay, we're about to start. Goodell walks up, and then is it Goodell or Goodell? Goodell. And then it just auto drafts it, and it lasts about 35 seconds of panicked bullshit. And then they're like, oh, we don't know what happened, but now the 32 picks are in. Sorry, it's all on the website. You can just see who everybody picked. And like teams are like, well, we were going to probably trade up or trade down, or we were just like going to adapt. And then some teams are like, oh, we drafted a fucking kicker. What the fuck? That we just put him at the top of our board just to remind us that we wanted a kicker. It's wild. It's like, it's so destructive, and they know about it. And they've just decided we don't care. That for the hardcore people that play to that level, tough shit.
I can't remember who in the league said this originally. I'm going to attribute it to Aussie Chris, whether it was him or not. But someone said, you know, they designed franchise mode around single player, and they include the feature of online leagues in franchise mode, whereas back when it launched, it was a separate feature. And I think the mentality of everything they've changed about online connected franchises is tailored now towards one player. So, you know, the way the XP system works and the way the different scenarios pop up, they're all made towards making your one owner, who's a human being, succeed against the 31 other computer people. And so when they have a bug like this that probably only pertains to people in leagues of 10 plus human beings, that's probably a small sample size of the total player base. That's true. Because it's very difficult to get a league together in the first place. And then it's very difficult to get a league, you know, beyond 5 friends. And then it's difficult to get beyond 10 friends. And, you know, there's a barrier at each stage. So the fact that this bug exists, it probably is just a very low priority because they're just like, you know, there's only 8 leagues with 32 people. So who gives a shit of a bug that only affects, you know, 200 people in the lifespan of a game?
Right. And yet, like, the 32 people who are playing 4 seasons, it's just like, what a fucking disaster. What a disaster. I don't know. It's fascinating. I'm just going to jump to my hate real quick, which I forgot what it was because everything on my computer has decided to start devolving into God only knows what. But I had several hates. I just have so many hates. But also, at the same time, I kind of am just like stoked about, like, with every hate that I have, I'm running into a love, which, so I guess I'm just going to bring some more love, which is I just looked up to see that Vladimir Tarasenko is among the stars available to go to the Seattle Kraken. And I'm like, great, that dude really didn't do much for the St. Louis Blues. And I'm kind of like, that would be great if we were able to get rid of him. And because he's paid a lot of money and just underperforming, but he still has that pizzazz. So I'm loving that. The All-Star Game, the Home Run Derby was amazing. The Euro Championships were amazing until all the racism at the end, which I was like dreading and knew was coming. And then it happened and I was like, ah, this world is wild. I don't know. I just feel pretty generally stoked about sports. And I think the NBA Finals are doing a lot for me on that front. And then just looking at the baseball standings today, just like it's just going to be great. It's just great. Everything's great. And also, the world is falling the fuck apart. All right, let's move on to breaking news. I just want to really talk about the thing that everybody's been not reading the internet for over a month for, to hear it from us first. But Madden 22 has its first details announced. What are you feeling? What was your general thing when you started watching the videos or looking at things or watching the trailer? However you approach this, what was your like, okay, this is how I feel about it? Or do you want me to go more specifically and ask you about each of the features?
No, we can start generally first. Excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. I watched a pretty intense breakdown by this YouTuber named Bangle, and he had like an exclusive interview or something where they went through some of the changes in franchise mode. And my biggest thing was mostly disappointment because pretty much the story beneath the story was that all these things were not going to be on the version of the game we play. They're all going to be next-gen features. And I guess that's to be expected at a certain point. I just didn't realize we were already there. I'm also pretty devastated about the whole September release because what we figured and why we have a fifth season now that we didn't plan for was that the update they're going to release will not apply to any league that exists before the update is released. So if we decide to start playing, that means we have to say no to all those features, which just sucks. It just sucks so much and totally screwed up our calendar. And I guess that should have been my hate. I have no sense of time anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of cool stuff coming to next gen and a lot of afterthoughts, I guess, for current gen.
Well, I think, my feeling about it was, it comes out on August 20th. So this idea that they're going to be releasing features that are core to like when you want to get started, it is weird. Like if you want to start a franchise, you don't go, you know what, I'm going to play now for about 3 weeks, or I'm going to fuck around with The Yard too. I mean, if they talked about The Yard at all, I'm sure they're going to do updates to that dud mode, which is just going to bum me out.
That's where they get to sell their SpongeBob jackets. So,
oh man, that's God. Every, you know, I will say this because we're going to be talking about this shortly. We're playing now a fifth year of Madden 21, and I kind of want to do a moratorium episode on Madden 21. But just generally, it's quite exceptional that we've gotten this far with this many people, because people drop out of the game. And so it does show that there's some real good stuff that is in this game, that this might actually be a really strong game, which, you know, you can wonder about or doubt early. But I forgot totally what I was about to talk about, but Madden 22. Oh, so because of that, I haven't just been that engaged. Oh, that's what I was going to say. That every time I turn on Madden 21, because we're playing five seasons, holy shit, I haven't podcasted in a while. My brain right now is just thinking about how to deal with a mom character in my pilot. But every time I turn on Madden 21, the shit that they're peddling for the yard mode just gets more like, I feel like I've fallen through a TV screen and I'm in some kind of Space Jam-esque world of just like, what is the, hey, anybody got, like, it's not like no bad ideas in a brainstorm. They're like, no good ideas in this brainstorm, you fuck faces, or otherwise you're out. We need the worst ideas. Let's cover a jersey in money. Great. SpongeBob. Soup. I mean, if there's anything that connects football to fucking video games, isn't it SpongeBob, Jeff? Is it not SpongeBob? I would love a Lego movie, Madden.
Made a Lego
game,
rock band.
Maybe.
That was fun for
I'd me. Hate it. I'd make fun of it. I don't know.
You get tackle and like their head
pops
off.
Yeah, why not? Anyway. Okay, that's pretty good. Yeah, like if you get a big hit, somebody's pieces fly. Yeah, that would be interesting and creative. You know what I don't care about? SpongeBob. I don't know that I would have cared 15 or 35 or 70 years ago when SpongeBob first came out and people actually cared about SpongeBob when I didn't. But now, man, it's bad. Okay. All that said. I'm just going to go down sort of the features list. First of all, game day atmosphere. It connects players to their NFL fandom through the crowds, environments, presentation elements that impact every game. Are you buying or selling that they're actually going to pull this off?
It's what they do now, which is like, oh, presenting the big game. And then, you know, they show the crowd and it's supposed to be, I think they said that you'd have like your own custom fans show up or something. But even in their trailer, they showed like three people sitting next to each other who are all the same person. And I just, unless you're actually going to license those people, like go get Fireman Ed for the Jets and shit like that, I don't care. Like, I don't need to make my own guy who's going to appear seven times in the same section and have a foam finger that goes up and down over and over. Your presentation has to actually be something related. Like, go get Flipper for the Dolphins, or I can't even think of other examples
right.
of what they do. It's all college in my head when I
Which,
think.
Yeah. It's so dumb. It's like all I want is to be able to create my own jersey and helmet and look for my team. That's all anybody would want. The like, if you could legitimately customize your stuff, I think it would drive so many people to franchise mode that they would actually then have to fix that bug. But, you know, whatever. But this idea of creating a fan.
Yeah, I think what I want from a presentation perspective
cool.
at the beginning of a game and the middle of the game, just the whole game, what I want from presentation is stats, you know? Especially in a franchise. If I'm playing week five, show me what's happened the previous 4 weeks. Show me, he always throws to the left, which they used to do in NFL 2K, where they would show like a breakdown on the field of where people passed. Show me that stuff. That's what actual presentation is take what has occurred and present it.
Well, also, what you're saying would then make people evolve. If the game is telling me that the running back runs, because I figured this out by playing people enough or whatever, or watching their Twitch streams. But if I know that, then I can adjust my game. And then if everybody knows I throw to the left, then I'm going to start throwing to the right. You know, then it becomes a thing. And then I'm going to diversify my game, which is what makes it a more realistic thing. Then you're actually playing football because you're like, you know, it's a chess match kind of situation. I don't know. Is this, I don't trust, I'm selling it. I don't trust it. Did they talk about like the wiggly pass routes and shit or like home field advantages? Yeah. Like I'm, that stuff's fine and it's, sounds
it just
cool,
sounds to me like
I just
more
guess
the good
I don't
stay good and the bad stay bad.
Care.
If you're a bad team, you suddenly have all your fucking plays wiggly.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, great, super fun to do this. I mean, it would make home field advantage matter more. But again, the dude who's 15-1 in our league doesn't need my lines to be wiggly. Right. Like, I'm already fucking sweating it. So. Yeah. So I do think Madden suffers from the destroy the weak complex, which is makes me not like football in general. And it's just why it's so representative of like this just fucking destroy is cool. It's like, no, actually, competition is cool. And how do we make a game more competitive? Moving on to game day momentum. Performance-based mechanics, including home field advantage. Okay, well, there we go. Game day momentum. We've already covered it. Game home. Yeah, provides a unique game tailored to each NFL team, stadium, atmosphere, swing momentum, bringing the tangible influence of momentum to life on the field. So, yeah, I mean, I guess we've already covered this. I will say I'm not totally selling this because I'm curious to see how much it fucks me, but I just can't wait for the game where I'm down 35-0 and I decided to run it out of the end zone because fuck it, I'm just going to do something else that makes me feel alive, and then I fumble, which does happen an extraordinary amount in this game, and I'm just like, who the fuck? What the fuck, man? I'm down 35-0. Let me hold on to the fucking ball and go 3-and-out. Let me throw a pick on second down. Why the fuck are you making me fumble? Like, fuck off. Give me a chance to just not, like, I'm not trying to throw an 80-yard bomb. I'm fucking trying to just run the ball to the 22.
Oh, my God. The word, the meta. I've noticed that the good players will deliberately kick it, you know, 5 yards short of the end zone versus kicking it deep into the end zone because the fumbles are so prevalent and because it's so difficult to kick return. Most of the time you'll stop them short of the 25, even if they have a 5-yard head start. Because the blocking is just so non-existent on kickoffs and the fumbling so big.
Yeah, I just, we just in season 5 kicked off my first game of the season and I did start doing the sky kick because I was like, yeah, let's see if this works. Let's just try this for a little while. But I did see that I was basically giving up 5 yards. But I also am like, do I want to give up 5 yards for the risk of knocking the ball out? Like, it's kind of worth it, you know? So. We'll see. It's funny because the good players on a sky kick would just step aside and let the ball go into the end zone anyway. So, all right, moving on to next-gen stats and star-driven AI powered by real-world player data that will evolve throughout the season, changes AI behavior and team tendencies to make NFL superstars and the personality of each team more true to life.
I think it's
what
actually
do you think
pretty
of this
cool. And,
talking point.
I look forward to when we eventually move to next-gen so we can use this stuff. But I hear it, like, actually matters and that things like acceleration are more in terms of miles per hour now instead of 1 out of 99. And that there are actual impacts in the game using this stuff. Plus, they're cool. You know, the presentation on Next Gen Stats, it's cool. I've seen it. It looks good.
I'm into it. Stats are great. We've already said it. Just real quick, it says about franchise mode. It'll make players feel more connected.
They're
going
to change the app number
team.
From 21 to
how?
22.
Because... yeah, more detailed staff management and skill tree progression systems and comprehensive weekly game strategy with a revamped season engine that keeps things fresh every week. I mean, do you... What's the negative of the staff management? Like, if you've got
I don't want that
defensive
stuff.
And offensive coordinators.
Coming. They're doing scouting is a big thing. You're gonna have like West Coast scouts, wide receiver scout. Like, it's all the different scout customization. I've never wanted any of that in franchise mode. I see people post about it that they're like, man, Madden sucks. Franchise mode sucks. You can't even have an offensive coordinator. Like, bitch, I'm the offensive coordinator. I'm the defensive coordinator. I'm everything. I don't need extra little XP. dumb menus that say, like, oh, this offensive coordinator does better running plays. Like, that's what this is all going to equal out to is, oh, this person will recruit better wide receivers in free agency because of your offensive coordinator. I don't want those things. I want an even playing field and for me to be the fuck up, not because I have a one-star coordinator. I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah, it's tough because I just see look, we already have people in our league that I really like and I really want there. Rich Grisham has been on this podcast, perfect example. If you throw in this too, it's like one more thing for him to do/fuck up because he's going to be like, I don't know, this guy has a haircut and that guy looks like he's out of shape, so I'll go with this guy. You know, do you know anything about the skill tree progression system and how that's going to work?
In the video I watched from that Bengal guy, he showed a bunch of like different superpowers basically, and it's like it's all the skill tree stuff. But it's like there were some that were temporary, like you could get 1 week off of someone's injury time or something using that, and there were some that were permanent, and it'd be like, this coach recruits better, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's just more of what I was just ranting about, but
right.
To be honest, some of it seems kind of cool. One of the abilities you can get is like once a season, you can actually renegotiate with someone who said they were going to walk away from you. So if you piss them off real bad, you can get them back to the negotiating table.
Oh, that's not too bad. I mean, I do like the idea of shortening an injury or something, but yeah, I don't know. I think what you said that AC had mentioned is that this is for one player, and that concerns me because basically, I think you might have mentioned it in the Discord, which was that all the teams are better in our league, that every single team has a much higher overall than when we started, which isn't a bad thing, but at the same time, that means there's no, like, teams don't drop out. You know, it's not like certain teams get good, certain teams get bad. It's like, no, they're everybody's rising. And I don't know what that means. If we played a serious like 20 season league, would all the teams be 90 and above? Would it just be like all Madden all the time? And I mean, all Madden mode or skill level. I don't know. It's interesting. So all this stuff, I guess, like, I want the franchise to be more investing and all that stuff. But again, if you give me uniforms, if they just said, hey, we didn't do shit to franchise mode, but now you can literally customize your team's uniform and you can have a totally cool look. You can have a chrome helmet. You can have, you know, like 15 different colors of pants. I would be like, fine. I don't need anything else. I don't need an offensive coordinator.
Instead of having to change it every time to make the one I want.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah. That what a great idea that is, because I always wear all white or all red as the Washington Warrens, and I always half the time the jersey doesn't load, so I'm like, did I click the right thing? Am I fucked? Oh my god, snow games! What a cool idea, bad disaster. Anyway, all right, that's enough of that. Now let's talk. About our feature segment, which is just our league. I just want to recap because we haven't talked about it. And this off season, and really what this is about is playing a fifth season in a league. And if it's a good idea, like whatever, say you have friends that play a franchise, whatever amount you play, there's this time where you're like, oh, we'll do this. And then the new game will come out. And then if you extend that, I think you're fucking up. There's an expiration date. And the reason I think it's bad is that there's a certain thing that happens. Like, people who are close drop their moral compass. People who are, like, super bad are just like, fuck it, I'm going to trade my homes for whatever. I don't know. There's something that happens that you... There's a fuck it idea that is positive, and there's a fuck it idea that, like, it's kind of has some stank on it. I signed Derrick Henry of 99 overall running back, which totally changed my place in the league. Like, I lost my first game. I do believe I'm going to go 15-0 from here on out because I Derrick Henry had 3 TDs and ran for 191 yards, and I don't think I even handed him the ball enough. Like, I wasn't like, he's my first choice. I was always like, oh, psychologically, shouldn't everybody think he's my first choice, so I have to adapt, and now I'm going to throw a pick and stuff. Slightly. I think I just didn't know what he was capable of. And also, the funny part I was playing. Oh, yeah, that's not bad. I mean, he had a. I had a one carry drive for 75 yards, and I don't think I broke off. I don't think I had a. In four seasons, I don't think I had a one carry drive. And I run the ball quite a bit. So. Well, it was funny with AC because he basically texted me in the game when I was winning, and I should have won that game. Yeah, but he texted me. He's like, "Oh, now you're gonna do your X Factor, fucko," because he has the freight train thing, right? Yeah. Well, it didn't get in my head. I just was like, "Yeah, hopefully." But AC did exactly that. He Saquon Barkley has freight train, which is absolutely stupid.
Everyone asks for the same thing.
Oh, they do. Oh, okay, right.
They ask for the same thing.
They ask for the same thing, or they get the same thing. Right. They shouldn't. Yeah, that's dumb. I'm hardcore against that, and definitely in this case, like he basically just got to that, and then he just ran him up my ass, and I was like, okay, this is super dumb. And I also didn't react appropriately. I should have tried to get him in the backfield. They have to run for a loss. I lost mine because I threw a screen, and I don't understand how I lost it still, like how I lost, but it doesn't matter. But anyway, so I signed Derrick Henry. Then AC in my division made a trade for Tyquan Cadet, who's this superstar 24-year-old middle linebacker, which is a trade that I was hoping he would make after I realized I didn't have the pieces until he gave away relatively nothing. So then I just lit into him. It was a total. I was just like, you have no moral compass. Basically, I just really went after him. I went after him too hard, but I still generally believe in my premise. So then I was like, well, okay, there are no rules. I'm going to trade for Stephon Gilmore. And which I felt like it was a fair enough trade. But he was like, this is an unfair trade. So then I was like, well, nobody knows. There's no, you can never know. And that's why we should have more trade regulations or whatever. Anyway, it's just become hilarious. So
you guys have been
that's
very
where I'm
intense,
at with the
I
new
will
season.
Say, and for whatever reason have included me in most of those conversations.
Well, I think, yeah, it's been interesting. I don't think it would be as fun without an audience because I think we've yelled at each other privately, and I think we're good now, but I think there was a moment where it was like, oh, this is weird, and I, you know, I'm sorry, but I apologize. But he said I only apologize after I traded for Stephon Gilmore, which I was, like, ready to apologize, but I was doing a location scout for the short film we're shooting. So I was like, yeah, that doesn't really tie together, but whatever, fine. And also, I don't think what I did was wrong.
No rules.
We have a league with no rules. So that's what I'm into. Exactly. And now you got into a huge fracas. Well, first of all, you threw for seven TDs with Tua in a preseason game and acted like that was totally fine.
Explain myself. But basically, I just didn't want to talk about it to a mob of people with pitchforks. I went to the commissioner, who is not me in this season, after it was over, and I showed him the video, which I had saved, of the seventh touchdown because I knew it was going to be a thing. And momentarily, I even considered restarting the game because I was like, I probably don't want this drama. But basically, the guy fell into the end zone. I couldn't stop him from scoring. I'd been in the red zone the previous two drives and kicked field goals and ran and need the clock out. And this time, I threw it 1 yard too far, and he fell in, which doesn't excuse the fact that he should not have been playing in the game. That I have no defense for.
Or throwing. First of all, yeah, how many yards did he throw to get these seven TDs?
300 at least, though. I don't have that in front of me. Sorry.
I thought the way you had said it, when you said the guy fell in, I thought that you had said Tua had sacked into the end zone, and that's how you scored your last TD.
The guy just made one of those rare animation catches, and then he was dragged into the end zone. So yeah, I couldn't stop him.
I love it. I love, but you also preceding this, you had five TDs, and then you had six, and then you had seven. So, and you like, you're saying I'm saying that I'm saying just in that game he had
five, then six.
Yeah, so he'd thrown for five, and you're like, I'm fucking hard as hell. I'm gonna pound this diamond tipped to a dick into this team, and then you're like six. not six, not five, not six. You were LeBroning it with Tua, and then you then the whole deal was like, okay, we have to suspend him. Although I think you didn't feel like he should get suspended, right? You were like, 17 is cool.
I was trying not to have a public discussion about it, but to the commissioner, I said, you know, if you got to suspend him, that's fine. I think preseason is still a worthy suspension. He still gains XP in preseason. He would still be playing in preseason. And everyone said preseason didn't matter, and it had to be a regular season game, which I thought was silly because, I mean, I guess it counts against your record, but the crime was XP boosting. There was no person to be criminalized, and I would still be put out of the XP from the next week is how I saw it. That said, it turned out to work in my favor greatly because he got a suspension for the regular season, and when we advanced, he was given the opportunity to gain X Factor in preseason week four.
Which is just a miracle of insanity, but only because you threw for 17 TDs, because I think that's how the game works.
Did you not get it? I wanted him to get it as a fuck you to everyone.
Because I thought that was like...
Oh, well.
Right, which is like a funny fuck you to everyone after you fucked everyone. So it's like two fuck yous.
And suspending him in the preseason would be meaningless. That's what I mean.
Yeah, you were only going to play him for a quarter either way. You're definitely wrong on this one, which is fascinating. But also the game giving him a X Factor thing in the fucking preseason makes me wonder, like, how many times have I missed X Factor opportunities in the preseason? Yeah, it's fucking dumb as shit. All right, the next topic is there is a whole explosion about how you don't like motion plays and the way I do them,
yeah,
which
too way out of proportion.
Good and bad.
It's still sort of going. It's definitely calmed
down. Is it still going on?
Steve just left a comment while also obviously having not read the discussion, which is hilarious. But I noticed you, in watching you, had one or two plays that I felt was against the spirit of a rule, the rule being that receivers should set their feet before the ball is hiked. And there are a couple of design plays where the play art has them do that anyway, where they're just running across the field behind the QB. And the rule specifically says that if it's in the play art, it's okay. When I wrote that rule, that's because I was imagining jet sweeps, not realizing there were actually passing plays where that would happen. So anyway, for some of season three, I noticed this, and I had some grumbles to a few people behind closed doors, and I was like, you know, this isn't really abiding the rule. I think we should do something about this, and most people just told me to shut up. But anyway, this morning, I finally wrote about it, and your good family, Adrian, took it to be all about him, which I thought was very funny, because it was really about you, Todd. I had a bunch of clips saved, and they were all of you, and then he started yelling about it, and people started getting involved, and eventually I came to realize that the exploit that the rule had been designed around, which was about manually motioning people, was something you couldn't do anymore, or at least I couldn't figure out how to do it anymore. I was testing it after people got mad. And so I said, hey, you know, actually, this manual thing, it can't be done anymore, so maybe this isn't a big deal. And everyone's like, oh, okay, good, good. And I was about to close the book on everything, and I watched a video that Adrian had clipped of him running one of the plays we discussed. And while I was watching with his running back, yes, and I noticed something
with
in
his
that,
running back.
And I go, oh, that looked weird, which I otherwise never would have seen. And so I tried to recreate that, and I saw a new exploit that I had figured out just from watching this video and this horrible discussion, and then the whole conversation became about that and whether it's an exploit to be in man coverage and have a running back run where the computer just will not put anyone on him in coverage at all. Some people were arguing that this is accurate because a linebacker's first job is to stop the run, and so they're staying at the line of scrimmage to stop the run. And my position was that, well, that linebacker is assigned man coverage, and the man he's covering is 20 feet that away. No one can see me pointing, but I'm pointing. And they don't even look at him. They move towards the quarterback, and then eventually they turn around and chase the running back. But at that point, he's already got the ball, and he's 10 yards downfield. So I think it's an exploit. I think at the very least, you have to say it's something noticeable that in this one type of play, you can force the other team to just not cover someone. The discussion became, well, just run zone coverage, but I feel like you should be allowed to run, you know, either. And whether it works or not should be based more about, like, how good the players are and, you know, what play you called, rather than literally every man coverage play will fail.
So, yeah. I haven't talked about this in the Discord because I was just late to the party, but I will let you know that Adrian's thing is, I think it's nearly impossible to stop. I started getting used to it coming and couldn't stop it, and I know what you're talking about. It would always be like, it's basically would be where the quarterback was lined up in shotgun, the running back was to his left, the running back would start running behind him to the right, and then your linebacker, which would be the one on the left, of the two on the screen,
the visual,
this is confusing, but say
you have
two linebackers.
The running back crosses the quarterback and starts running a flat route. And whereas in man coverage, if that was a wide receiver, the wide receiver would move across the field to stay in line with that wide receiver. This running back, no one follows him. If you have a linebacker or a defensive back, they do not follow him, and they will not move at all until the ball is snapped. And when the ball is snapped, something clicks in their brain, you know, the AI brain, and they take one step towards the quarterback before realizing, oh, wait, I'm in man coverage. And then they chase the running back. But the running back is already, before the ball is even snapped, 10 yards to the right or to the left of the ball and has full acceleration at this point.
Right. So what my problem was, is even when I track that and I was like, oh, I can do it, my linebacker would be far enough out of position that he could legitimately not catch up with the running back. Now, that said, if you look at my situation, which is my wide receiver starts running behind the quarterback, and then when the ball snapped, he can either hand it off or he can throw it. I've had that intercepted before, like behind the line of scrimmage. I've also had it snuffed out for, I was saying I've had it intercepted before, and I've had it snuffed out for no gain. With McLaurin, it's a little bit more effective. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's like a 5-yard kind of deal. I've only had it really work in big ways, like maybe one or two times.
But by the end of that conversation, I backed off and I was like, okay, I guess this really isn't a big deal. It was this new thing that I saw where I was like, boy, you know, if someone's in man coverage, they should at least be chasing the player that they're in man coverage on. Like, they can be bad at it.
Right.
You know, they can get beat. Yeah, they can be slow.
That's really
interesting. They can make a bad cut. In this situation, the guy just doesn't move at all.
Yeah, yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, it's really interesting because I do think this will be totally unpopular, probably in that Discord. But I'm just like, yeah, that has always bugged me because I couldn't stop it, and that it was so effective if I didn't see it coming. But I don't know. Anyway, I'm gonna eat lunch. I'm hungry. It's Netflix minute time. I'm supposed to call out our sponsors, but I don't even know if anybody gives money to this podcast anymore. If you still give money to this podcast, thank you. I'm sorry. I'm a terrible, terrible Flibberty Gibbet. But Netflix minute. What do you recommend
Betty,
people watch this
which
week?
Which is a 2004 era office comedy. It holds up pretty well. You know, it's charming. None of the characters are like out and out evil. They all have layers and. The jokes hold better than you would think a 2004 comedy that includes a trans character might. Ugly Betty on Hulu. It's 4 seasons, I think. I finished 1 so far.
I just bark when I hear about certain shows. I'm going to recommend Pen 15. I was told to watch it. It's also on Hulu. I was told to watch it because of me writing about being a 13-year-old growing up in Florissant, Missouri. And I was like, okay, this is about two girls who are 13, I believe, or 14. And the twist of it and kind of the hook is that they're played by their actual adults. They just, you know, like have braces in and try to make themselves look young and goofy, and it's great. That was a hook that got me in, and I was like, oh, actually they look pretty 13, so I don't feel like, you know, whatever. But it's fantastic, and it gets super emotional. The first 2 or 3 episodes I didn't love, but then it gets amazing, and it's funny, and it's weird. I don't know, that's what I'd recommend. All right, that's our show for this week. Jeff, take us out. Oh yeah.